you, Lord.
All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. What could he possibly have provided that would encompass all of my need? It's Jesus. Jesus was the provision. And I'm thankful for Jesus tonight. How about you?
Amen.
You know, kind of going along with what we've already heard so far, God has provided for all of our needs. But just because he's provided for those needs doesn't mean we possess all that he's provided. There needs to be faith. There needs to be a belief and an understanding what God has come to do. And sometimes we are settling for just a part of the story, but there's more to the story. And God wants us to understand and have a revelation of who he is and what he has come to do and what he desires to do in us and desires to do by his Holy Spirit through us. I'm reminded of the story in Luke chapter 24. If you have your Bible, which I assume you do, you can open up to Luke chapter 24. We're not going to be there very long. And many of you are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. This is after Jesus had died on the cross. The provision was made, not just through the sacrifice on the cross, but through the resurrection. And Luke chapter 24 and verse 13 tells us, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem." Verse 14 says, "They were talking with each other about everything that had happened." There's just one problem. They were not talking about everything. They were only talking about what they knew so far. There was more to the story. In fact, the best part had been left out from what they were talking about. The part that had been left out would have caused them, it would cause you to be sad and downcast, questioning everything about life as they were walking on this road, sad and downcast and questioning. They did not know that Jesus had risen from the dead. They did not know it. Now, we as Christians, we know Jesus died on the cross. We know he rose from the dead. But if we're honest, sometimes we're living life as if he's still dead. He's not dead. He's alive. And his victory over sin and over death is the faith by which we put all of our trust and all of our strength and all of our energy and all of our time. So it's critical to understand the whole story, that Jesus is alive. Why is that important? Because he says, "Because I live, you shall live also." If you're not walking every step of your life on a road knowing that Jesus is risen, then you're not going to know that you're alive too. And you're going to feel as if spiritually something is missing, that you're lacking. Even though all that you've needed, his hand hath provided. God wants us to receive, as we've been hearing already so far tonight. They were talking about part of the story. And here's the truth. Sometimes part of the story is worse than not hearing any of the story. It would make you feel worse knowing part of the story than not having heard anything at all. And so we need to know the whole counsel of God. We need to walk in the victory that's been provided for. Now, we talk tonight about things we still have to go through here on this earth. But this earth is not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. There is victory through Jesus that we possess, that every one of us in that blessed assurance are going to one day for all eternity live in and walk in. And the truth is that eternity starts the moment you have Christ living on the inside of you. Sometimes people gather together with other people who only know part of the story, and they think it's going to help them. Let's add some parts together. If you take half the story and you add half the story, it doesn't equal actually to 100% of the story. We got to make sure that we're hearing the story from the source of where the story came from to begin with. And who is that? That's through Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful tonight that it's in Christ Jesus that we have everything that we need to live a godly life. Everything we need to live a godly life is given to us through Christ Jesus. So what happened on this story? Who showed up on that road? Jesus showed up on that road. Aren't you thankful that he loves us enough to come after us, maybe individually, maybe two by two, maybe by a church or by a group meeting here at camp, or maybe by a family, so that he can tell us the rest of the story, the best part of the story. He wants our life to be impacted by the truth of who he is, that he's not dead, but he's risen. And because he's alive, we can live also. The Bible tells us that Jesus explained to them all through Scripture the truth, the whole story. And as he went to walk further along the road, they urged him to stay with them. This is the part that's important for us. We need to desire for Jesus to stay with us. We need to realize that even if you've been saved a long time, there are still parts of the story that Jesus wants to share with you by the Holy Spirit, even tonight. Sometimes we shut people off, we shut encouragement off, we shut things that God's trying to bring into our life off because we think we've had enough. But God has more for us tonight. God has more for you tonight. God has more for you tonight. More! Even if you were raised in church, even if you know all the songs and all the scripture, he has more for you tonight by the Holy Spirit. And after that bread was broken, as they ate together, it was then that they realized this was who? Jesus. It was Jesus. It was Jesus, the bread of life. Right there as he broke it, they realized who he was. And as they partook of that bread, Jesus left that place, the Bible tells us. And what was their proclamation at the end of the story? Do you remember what they said to one another? What did they say? Did not our hearts burn within us? Your heart responds to the truth of the Holy Spirit. Your heart responds. He witnesses his spirit with our spirit. Isn't that beautiful? To think that God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, that blessed Trinity, three in one, desires to have a fourth come in fellowship and communion. Who is that fourth? It's you. Who is that fourth? It's me. It's us. He wants to bring us into that blessed fellowship, but there needs to be a hunger. There needs to be a thirst. You know, many in our country today are not hungry and thirsty for God. Have you noticed that? I was on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic, and it was pouring rain on the first night, and still hundreds of people came in the pouring rain. They came up to the altar to respond to the altar call. They met Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the power of God. The Bible says that those signs and wonders will accompany the preaching of the word. Well, people came out because they were hungry. It didn't matter the weather. It didn't matter the heat or the humidity. It didn't matter the bugs. It didn't matter how bad the neighborhood was. They came because there was a hunger and there was a thirst for righteousness. And what does Jesus say in the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So what is the problem we have? We have a problem of not knowing just how hungry in our soul we really are. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. If I were to ask you tonight, what is your need? We would have a list, perhaps. Maybe a few things come to mind. I need a better job. Maybe you need some more money. Maybe you need something to work out differently in your schooling or in a relationship. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit knows what you need better than you know what you need. And so it's best to come to the Lord to seek Him. It's best to come to the Lord to seek His Spirit ruling and reigning in us. Lord, you show me what I need. I'm not sure what I really need, but I want to have all that you have provided for me in my life. And I'll tell you one more thing before I sit down. This is not something that happens without the sacrifice of time. This is not something that happens without the sacrifice of meditating on the things of God. This is not just going to happen by accident in your life. I'm so thankful for camp. Why? Because we set time aside to seek the Lord on a not only daily basis, on a twice a day, at least minimum. If you came to prayer three times today alone, seeking the Lord. And what happens? The Lord comes. People are hungry. People are thirsty. And He comes on the road, wherever you are, to tell you the rest of the story, that in Him, He has everything that your soul and your life truly needs. In our church, we have a time yearly, at least once, where we set time aside all day and all night to seek the Lord. Guess what happens when we do that there too? The same thing. Jesus shows up. When I was in the Dominican Republic, a week, eight nights, 8 days, the most intensive ministry and missions I've ever been a part of in my life. All morning, all afternoon, all night, very little sleep. Very little time to eat and hang out. We stayed in a beautiful hotel, but guess what? We didn't enjoy the pool. We stayed in a beautiful hotel, but guess what? We didn't hang out in the game room. No, we just slept in that hotel because the rest of the time we were setting our time to seek the Lord. It's time to set time to seek the Lord, not just here at camp, but in our families. Not just here at camp, but in our personal lives. Not just here at camp or in a retreat or at a conference or a week of revival meetings, but every day. Are you hungry for Jesus? Are you hungry for Jesus? You know, if you eat anything, you will feel full. You literally can put cardboard through your mouth into your stomach and you will feel full. But it's not going to satisfy you and nourish you. We're spending lots of time doing lots of things, but nothing will satisfy us until we truly partake of the bread of life, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's sing number 63. My hope is in the Lord. Whole story is there for us. For me he died, for me he lives. Everlasting life and light he freely gives. Praise God. Number 63 in the white book. Why don't we stand while we sing? And let me just mention that tomorrow is Wednesday, and that's designated as our day of prayer here at camp. And so after the morning service, we'll continue waiting upon God for those that are able to do so and not on duty, and until approximately lunchtime. Okay, so just come understanding that and be part of that as much as you can. Okay, number 63.
My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin. Amen.
sing the last.
His grace has planned it all.
Thank you, Brother Gary, for sharing that with us. As you were standing there, I was thinking of the movie we made. Brother Gary and I made a movie, remember? I think we found the tape. We're going to show it to your family one day when you come by. He was in our youth group, and we were reenacting some of the stories connected with Easter. And Gary was Jesus. We never showed his face, because we don't know exactly what Jesus looked like, and I'm not convinced that he looked exactly like Gary. So... But the big part of the movie was when Gary was enacting this story in Luke 24. And we were actually, he was walking on the way to Emmaus, which was actually in Woodhaven. And it was on the side of the road, and we had two disciples with him, and they had their robes on. And I'm running along filming them, and they're walking along Forest Park Drive. And cars are looking and honking their horns and waving. And then we got into my father-in-law's house, the Schreck house, and we rearranged the furniture. And so Gary is sitting at the table with these two disciples, and then he picks up the bread and he breaks the bread. And then I said, "Freeze!" And so everybody freezes, and then Gary steps out of the picture. And then I turned the camera back on, and miraculously he had disappeared. And so Johnny Munsinger and I forget the other one, they were, Sal Elcamo. Yeah, they looked shocked that he was gone. Where did he go? And that was about as high-tech as I could get at the time. But it made quite an impression. I'm still proud of that little endeavor. Praise God. I think we had him disappear a few times because that was, like, so cool. Remember that? Yep. So we had good times. Brother Gary reminded me that in one of our youth groups that I got so upset with the kids that I drove them all home. And he said, "We deserved it." Well, I don't know if he felt that way at the time, but I didn't realize I had that in me. But I guess back then I did. Praise God.